The princess and the frog, she lays one on him, and suddenly he's a handsome prince. Now, the moral is not to pucker up every time you see an amphibian. It's that sometimes beauty is right beneath the surface. It's the same way with your roof. Streaks, stains, moss, it's not a sign that it needs to be replaced, it just needs to be washed. 1558 Exterior Cleaning's non-pressure roof cleaning won't damage your shingles or void your warranty, and it's a fraction of the cost of a new roof. Turn your frog back into a prince. Call 1558 Exterior Cleaning.
And the new Sap of the Hour brought to you by 1558 Exterior Cleaning. Ugly roof, don't replace, restore. 1558 Exterior Cleaning roof washing won't void your shingles warranty and will restore your home's curb appeal. Call 529-8570 or go to 1558ec.com. Kicking off 2 hours of live local talk from Stewards of Sound Incorporated. As 24 hours from now, we're expecting to hear from Donald Trump, a big announcement in New York, who his running mate will be. It seems to be down to four names: Indiana Governor Mike Pence, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Who would you like to see? Let us know. 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. Email markatwib.com. Tweet me on Twitter at Mark Halverson, or you can text Halva to 77000. Actually, at 10:25, we'll talk politics with Wisconsin Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson facing a stiff test for re-election. He told us last time he was with us in studio, this will be the one and only time he'll run for re-election. And that is against the guy he beat in the Tea Party year of 2010, Russ Feingold. Latest Marquette University Law School poll out yesterday shows Johnson still trailing Feingold among registered voters, among likely voters. What can he do to overcome that? Anyhow, that's later at 10:25. Plus, also, it's a week ago today, a week ago tonight, that five Dallas police officers were killed in cold blood on the streets of Dallas as they were protecting protesters in the Black Lives Matter movement. So the only black member of the United States Senate, Tim Scott, on the Senate floor yesterday talking about his experiences being pulled over, including seven times in 1 year as a United States senator. I believe it was. He was in the House before that. So we've got that and a terrific tribute to police from the late, great Paul Harvey. All to come your way before 11 here on FM 103.1, AM 680 and WOGO.com. Talking a lot more politics, plus the fair and sports after 11 on FM 103.1, AM 680 and WOGO.com. But how do we get started today? Well, you know, one of our gift offers this month is from WIB Incorporated is Stephen Curtis Chapman. I mean, this guy is so terrific, not only musically, but as a person, as a man of God. He's one of my spiritual heroes. Just the humility with which he carries himself is incredible, exemplary to the highest degree. All that success, all those Dove Awards, Grammys, all the concerts, and the guy is just marked, it seems to me, by the humility and brokenness that I know I want to imitate. That Isaiah 66:2 says that God says, this is the one I look to. He was humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word. I mean, that's a Stephen Curtis Chapman for you. And his Worship and Believe is one of our gift offers here in July. So I thought it'd be good to bring back the conversation we had with Stephen a few months ago on this project. Stephen Curtis Chapman on the phone with us as he's got his brand new release, Worship and Believe, out. His very first worship project, first worship album in his 29-year career. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for talking with me. Good to be with you.
All right. So you wait almost three decades before you come out with your first official worship album. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard to believe that a guy who's been around as long as I have and doing this has got that there's anything that I could say, hey, I've never done this before. Usually, I did this, I think, a couple of times. But, you know, I mean, I have to clarify a little bit because I feel like, you know, every album I've done, every song I've written and recorded has been a worship song in the sense that, you know, all of my music's written with that desire to lift up the name of Jesus, point people to him, encourage people in their journey. But as it relates to real, you know, corporate songs that are, you know, let's sing this together as a congregation, let's declare this together as believers, those kinds of songs that I love, that I, you know, of course, grew up, you know, singing the hymns, and then I can still remember the first time I heard "I Could Sing of Your Love Forever," and I heard, you know, people singing that together, and I just, there was something so powerful and so special about that. And then, you know, the corporate worship music that has just kind of swept, you know, like a wave through, you know, through the church in these last few years. I love those songs. I've loved singing them and leading them, and love leading worship, and have incorporated them into my concerts over the years, and have even written a few, you know, with my buddies, you know, over the last few years, Matt Redman and Chris Tomlin, different ones, thinking, you know, I'd love to, you know, write some of those songs. But honestly, 8 years ago, almost now, seven and a half, going on 8 years, it'll be eight in May, when our little girl Maria went to be with Jesus. And of course, I've written a lot of songs since then that reflect, you know, that part of our journey as a family, and kind of the redefining that that has been in my life and my faith. But one of the things that I've said often is songs during that time, and really through that, in that journey that I've continued to be on and will be on until, you know, until I see Jesus' face and my little girl's face again, the power of songs that declare what God's word says is true, of who he is, of who we are to him, those kinds of songs became, for me, especially in the darkest moments, have been songs that have been a lifeline for me. They took on a whole new meaning. The Psalms, one song in particular, written by Matt Redman, comes from the book of Job, when Job is in his darkest place of loss and grief, and he says, God gives and takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Matt wrote such a powerful song. And that song, for me, in the darkest moments, was, it's not an exaggeration to say this song really helped save my life, for sure helped save my heart and my faith, to just be able to say, God, I don't understand, I don't get this, nothing is clear, everything is dark, but in this darkness, I'm going to hold on to this one thing. This is all I have to hold on to, that you are good, that you're God, that you're worthy of praise, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to declare this. And in that, for me, the power of that, the sustaining power of having those kinds of songs to take what I knew in my head to my heart and into my life, to keep me moving and keep me breathing, I realized, you know, I want to write some songs from that place now that I've experienced the power of that. I'd love to, you know, write some songs that are just those songs of declaring, this is what God's word says, this is who he is, and let's sing this together. And so that was the beginning of Worship and Believe, really, for me. That was when I think those first seeds were planted in my heart and soul to want to write these kinds of songs for a recording.
You know, Stephen Curtis, in preparing to do this interview with you, I had kind of ruled out, I wasn't going to bring up Maria's death, but since you did, the first concert you did was actually at Life Fest in Oshkosh, and my wife and I and our kids were there. And I wonder if you remember, that had to be one of the tougher concerts you ever did, because it was your first public singing performance after her death.
Yeah, I do. I remember it very well. I remember how much I debated whether it was time, whether I should or could, what songs could I sing, you know, what songs would it be appropriate to sing. You know, I was in that place of just trying to begin to grapple with, you know, I mean, if all of this was true before, can I still sing even songs like, you know, This Is the Great Adventure, you know? I mean, it's like all of that took on new meaning. But if you'll remember, you may not remember this, but I know for sure, because I know that every concert I did, at least for the first year or two after Maria went to be with Jesus, every time I walked on stage, the first thing I sang was, Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was the song that I sang, and that was the reason, because that reality had become so important for me to say, this, before I say anything else, this is what I'm going to declare. Everything I'm going to say after this is, you know, is a choice to worship, to trust God, you know, whether I see it, whether I understand it, you know, through the tears, I'm going to proclaim that God is good, that God is God, that he is in control. Hmm. And so that is, and then the first tour I did after that, of course, was with Michael W. Smith. We did the United Tour, and that was, again, night after night, Michael would lead in worship, and we'd start the concert every night with "Blessed Be Your Name," and we would worship together, and you know, so that's, you know, I've just been such a part of my journey of coming to see how powerful, just, you know, the Scripture says, and I say it in one of the songs on "Worship and Believe," in the song "More Than Conquerors," where I sing, "By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, the enemy has been and the enemy will be defeated." Hmm. And I've just seen, you know, my own experience when the enemy was trying to destroy my family, you know, through just those darkest days, and just to have those promises of God to sing and to weep and to cry out and to sometimes scream as loud as I could, but to sing and say, this is what's most true, you know. And I think right now, I mean, we look around just at the world and what's going on in the news and politics and elections and all the craziness, and we just, you know, it'd be so easy just to give in to hopelessness and despair and, you know, the confusion. And I think it's just so vitally important that we keep dropping our anchor in the promises of God and tell us, wait a minute, we know who's on the throne, we know who's in control, and we're trusting him. You know, that's where our hope is, that's where our trust is.
I was just recommending to someone very close to me even earlier today, who's going through some over the last year, some serious trials, and I recommend read Job. Also, Larry Crabb's book, 66 Love Letters, the chapter on Job, and it's Larry talking with God through the various 66 books of the Bible, and I'd recommend that too. But I remember that concert you did that night, that song, but also your friend Jeff Moore, as he came out on the stage, and they sang and kind of ministered to you as well. So
yeah, absolutely. I remember it very, very well. My dear friend Jeff was walking right beside me through those earliest, hardest days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Your debut single on Worship and Believe is Amen. We've been enjoying it here. Play that amidst this interview. Talk to us about that terrific song.
Well, that was one of the several on the record that I had the privilege of writing with some other worship leaders. You know, as I call them, the trained professionals. I'm like, you guys do this regularly. You write songs for the church.
Yeah.
You know, I called up Chris Tomlin. I called up Matt Redman. I called up Matt Maher. And I called Chris and Gareth of Wren Collective because I'm a big fan of their music and their hearts. And I had this kind of song that just sort of felt like Wren Collective to me. And really, it's a song about just agreeing with God. You know, I feel like that's really at the heart of what I've come to understand worship is about. It's just kind of the most intelligent thing we can do as human beings, I feel like, is when we just sort of go, okay, God, yes, what you said, I agree, you know, because there's just not anything any more intelligent we can do than agree with the God who made us and created us and agree with what he said. And so I thought, you know, I want to write a song that really just does that. It, you know, there's not really anything more we can say other than amen. God, you said it. You declared it. I'm gonna restate it. I'm going to say it and sing it again. This is what you said. And then my response is just going to be, yes, amen, I agree. And so that's really what this song is intended to help people do.
I want to be respectful of your time. We've gone 10 minutes. Is that what we had, or was it 10 or 15?
Well, we'll probably go a couple more minutes if you got anything else.
Yeah, okay. You recently did a short tour with Amy Grant. I think your first headline tour with her ever before. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's crazy to think after all these years that Amy and I have never actually toured together, but we haven't. We've done a lot of concerts together, you know, and we'll do an awards show or this or that, but as far as actually going on tour and doing several nights in a row, it was a really, really special thing. I've known Amy for a long time, but not really well, you know, just kind of see each other at events or whatever. And, you know, same kind of thing when I toured with Michael W. I mean, here's a guy that I respect so much, you know, respected his music for years. But when I got done with that tour, I was really, really considered him a friend, a dear friend. And the same thing with Amy, just getting a chance to, you know, sit and have meals together with all of her and her crew and band, and, you know, working out the concert, working out the set list. And then the whole night, what was really special about that tour is we did the whole night together. I mean, we didn't leave stage. I stayed and played guitar and sang backup vocals on all of her songs. Hmm. And she stayed out and sang with me on my songs. And,
cool.
And sometimes she just sat on a stool and just kind of listened. She just stayed either in the audience with me or singing with me the whole night.
Hmm.
And we shared a band together, so, you know, we never had to change things over. And it was just a really very cool interactive kind of night between the two of us. And, of course, great songs that took everybody down memory lane. You know, she's singing, you know, Thy Word and El Shaddai and all those great songs. And I'm kind of playing along with her. And then I'm singing, you know, some of the older songs of mine. And, you know, she sang a verse of Live Out Loud with me. And
it's not,
you know, it was just a really cool night.
It's not that often you actually would team up with somebody who's actually done this longer than you have.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. That's what she kept pointing that out. It's like, how far does that song go back? I'd say 1987. That was my first record. She goes, okay, this one's from 82. So it's kind of like, okay, you win.
Yeah, right.
And I guess.
Right. Exactly. And now you go from one Hall of Famer to another as you're going to tour with Third Day.
Oh yeah, super, super excited about that. We're going to, same kind of thing, actually. Third Day and I have talked about it for years. They've, you know, their guys, Mark and Dave Carr, and, you know, the guys in their band have always said, man, we, you know, we listen to your music, you know, when we were, you know, in high school, in college. I mean, your music was some of the first Christian music we listened to and heard, and it really influenced us. And so someday we want to play the Great Adventure with you. You know, someday we want to be your band. And I was like, hey, I would love that. Let's do it. So it took us a while to finally get our schedules and tours to all line up, but that's what we're doing. They're going to be my band. Third Day will be my backup band, and I'll be, you know, I'll be a part of their band. I'm going to be playing guitar at Third Day. So it's pretty cool, pretty amazing opportunity to get to do that with those guys.
Well, all right, a recent conversation with Stephen Curtis Chapman a few months back, but it's certainly fitting to bring back here on this July 14th front page as his Worship and Believe, his first exclusive worship recording, is released, and it's our gift offer during July. Ask for it with your gift of $40 or more, tax deductible, to WWIB Incorporated. Coming up, we'll hear from Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. If you've got any questions or comments for him, those are welcome at 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, email mark at wib.com. Ahead of that, a Western Wisconsin official who is involved in the Republican Party, Brian Westrate, got to introduce Senator Johnson at the Republican convention back in May in Green Bay. And Brian's sterling intro ahead of Senator Johnson. Coming up on WHIP.
One voice in the dark, a song that lights up the stars, one breath that gives life.
From the first building block to the last coat of paint, Menards is here to help. Get an 11% rebate on everything in the store, even sale prices. Let fresh air in with a new storm door from Larson. Whether you want to add energy efficiency or extra security, Larson has the right storm door for you. Save big money and get an 11% rebate on everything, even sale prices, now at Menards. Hurry in. Sale ends July 16th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
What's your family up to this summer? Swimming lessons?
Mom, I'm hungry.
Sightseeing?
Is there anything to eat here?
Road trip?
Mom, I'm starving.
Count on it. Your summer schedule may be full, but your kids won't be. Fill them up with tasty 1-ounce snack cheeses with naturally derived omega-3s from Omega Valley Farmers of Wisconsin. Stock up. Omega Valley Farmers delicious snack cheeses are now available in multi-packs. It's real Wisconsin cheese for a real Wisconsin summer. Omega Valley Farmers. Naturally better.
When reading the war letters from their fathers, two young men find out that their fathers were friends. They meet and decide to visit The Wall, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. They share a lot in common and learn that faith was not always a part of one of their father's legacy. During July, for a suggested gift of $40 or more to the ministry, ask for the DVD Faith of Our Fathers, A Story of Fatherhood, A Journey of Brotherhood. Rated PG-13 for brief war violence, dub rated faith friendly for kids 12 plus. Call, write, go online, or stop by.
One sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire. One Lord, one King.
Stephen Curtis Chapman, again, ask for worship and believe during July. You'd be glad you did, and you'd be helping WIB Incorporated here during these tough summer months. You can always give safely and securely online at WWIB.com. We're expecting a call from Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Latest Marquette University Law School poll out yesterday, continuing to show him trailing amongst registered and likely voters. But there's still time, I presume. When I ask Senator Johnson about that, he'll say, I don't pay any attention to polls. That's my prediction. We'll see how that goes. I want to ask him some about the there's a lot of things. I mean, Homeland Security heads up the Homeland Security Committee in the United States Senate. And he said this week he wants answers by July 25th on how other government agencies may have been involved with Hillary Clinton's controversial emails. We'll talk about that, the tensions between Black Lives Matter and their protests and police. Also, certainly ISIS and terror and the economy and various things to talk about in his November 8th showdown with Democratic Senator Russ Feingold. And Senator Johnson's campaign came out with the career clock on Senator Feingold in terms of how long he's been a career politician. So kind of turning the tables on him some. So anyhow, a lot to get to in about a 15-minute interview. But our friend Brian Westrate is a brother in the Lord, attends one of the well-known churches here in the area, and he chairs the 3rd Congressional District for the Republican Party. And he had the privilege of introducing Senator Johnson before Senator Johnson spoke at the Republican convention back in May in Green Bay. And I thought that intro would be appropriate ahead of our conversation with Republican Ron Johnson today on WIB.
This afternoon, I want to share with you a little bit about leadership, because I look out at a room full of men and women who are leaders, hundreds of you who give up Saturdays and Sundays, nights and weekends away from your families and your friends, probably even jobs that pay your mortgage. And you don't do this because you love the Republican Party. You don't do it because you love to go to parties. You do it because we have to elect men and women of principle to positions of leadership. Right? That's why we're here this weekend. It's not for the hospitality suites. It's to win elections. And 6 years ago, just such a leader stepped forward. A man who was living a life of comfort in Oshkosh, who had built an amazing business in the private sector and raised an amazing family, and is married to an amazing woman that he loves to spend time with. But he stepped out of his comfort zone, because that's what leaders do when they see a problem. Ron Johnson saw that this nation is headed for a fiscal cliff. And he knew that he was a man with the right skills at the right time to make a difference. See, that's what leaders of principle do. They step out of their comfort zone to make a difference. So he ran and he won. And for the last 6 years, Ron Johnson has been taking the hard votes and sharing the hard truths with a nation that needs to know the hard facts about where we are headed. Because make no mistake, folks, that's what principle leadership is about. Anyone can serve when it's easy. Anyone can cross a river that is ankle deep in water. But it's principled leaders that wade into the turbulence of a raging river and figure out a way to not only get across, but make sure that everyone who's following them also makes it to safety. That is the type of leader that Ron Johnson is. That is the type of leader that Ron Johnson has been for the people of Wisconsin and the people of the United States. And so today, I ask you, and in fact, I implore you to be the type of leader that Ron needs you to be. I ask you to extend your hand to the left, to the man to your left, and extend your arm to the right, to the woman to your right, and unify. Together, we, the Republican Party of Wisconsin, can be the leaders that Ron needs us to be, can be the leaders that Wisconsin and the United States need us to be. Because I tell you now, together, we will re-elect Ron Johnson, and we will re-reject Russ Feingold in November. Thank you.
All right, Brian Westrate, our friend from Fall Creek, also chairs up the Republican Party 3rd Congressional District. His introduction of Senator Ron Johnson at the Republican convention in May. Thought it'd be appropriate, timely to bring that back, leading into our conversation right now, live with Wisconsin Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Good morning, Senator.
Well, Mark, how are you doing? Those were obviously really kind remarks by Brian. And, of course, Brian's one of those guys that also stepped up the plate, has been working tirelessly because he also is so deeply concerned the direction of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that's what we need. You know, we need the citizens, you know, the good folks of Wisconsin stepping forward, understanding what's at stake in this election, getting involved, talking to their friends, their family, their neighbors. We're running out of time. You know, nobody in elected office in the administration is seriously taking a look at the fiscal and financial doom that this nation faces, other than leaders like Paul Ryan and Sean Duffy. I mean, we're trying to do it, but, you know, this other side is just simply ignoring it, denying that reality, which is a real problem in this nation.
Senator,
anyway, I appreciate you playing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was good. Brian's a great guy. All right, as we talk with you in about 10, 12 minutes here, a lot to cover. I want to start, though. I think it's appropriate. You and Congressman Duffy urging President Obama to support disaster assistance for northern Wisconsin flooding. I don't know if you've been there or seen some of the pictures. I mean, really devastating, this storm that hit everywhere from Ashland to Washburn counties this week.
Yeah, we're heading up there. I'm flying into Minneapolis. We're going to be kind of going up into that region, making sure the roads are clear. I know my brother has got a place up by Cable and said a section of Highway 63, about a 30-foot deep ravine, wiped out that. So, no, it's we're going to head up there to see what kind of destruction was really, you know, Mother Nature is unbelievably powerful, isn't it? So,
absolutely. Also, this Marquette University Law School poll out yesterday, registered voters, likely voters, you're still trailing. I predicted to the listeners I would ask that to you, and you would say, you know what, Mark, I don't look at polls. So am I right? Is that what you're going to say?
Well, I'm certainly no political pundit. I'm just a manufacturer from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Yeah, I'm sure I was probably in a similar situation in 2010 when I ran, too. I mean, we barely started our campaign. Senator Feingold is so desperate to return. You know, he announced over a year before when I announced my candidacy. And, I'm just asking the good folks of Wisconsin, you know, compare who we are. I'm a Wisconsin manufacturer. He's a career politician, served for 18 years. What did he ever accomplish? Versus myself, who in just my first term, I'm chairman of Homeland Security, Government Affairs, and that, Mark, really has been my approach to this campaign. I'm doing my job. I have a serious responsibility, and using a business person's approach, trying to find areas of agreement that unify us as a committee, as a Congress, as a Senate, as Americans, as Wisconsinites, I'm actually getting results. We've reported out 83 pieces of legislation out of my committee, the types of bills that make government a little more efficient, a little more effective, a little more accountable. That continuous improvement that's kind of part of my manufacturing background, we've had 26 of those now signed by law, by President Obama, into law in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, that's a business person's approach, a manufacturer's approach, getting real results, trying to accomplish something. You know, Senator Feingold makes a big deal of traveling to all 72 counties. I did 72 counties in 42 days. You know, I've done that tirelessly. It's an enjoyable activity. It's the best part of the job. It's not an accomplishment.
And yet some of the criticism from a Feingold campaign against you, and we'll get to John and Ladysmith in a second, but they try to say that that you haven't been listening.
Oh, I absolutely have. You know, one of the things we do, too, is we hold telephone town halls. You know, we're using technology. I'm a business guy. We've dialed out to more than 2 million Wisconsinites, had more than 600,000 Wisconsinites on those hour-long telephone town halls. I'm listening. You know, I always have our staff. You know, put somebody on that disagrees with me right up front so everybody on the call realizes this isn't just for supporters. This is for every Wisconsinite because I realize I'm Wisconsin senator. I represent everybody. So, no, I've been listening since the day I started campaigning. And Mark, I can tell you what's primarily on the minds of Wisconsinites. In one word, security. It's homeland and national security, but it's income security. It's job security. It's health care security. Patient Protection Affordable Care Act did not live up to its name. And retirement security. So many of these problems, our debt and deficit, are being ignored. People know they're being ignored, and they are concerned.
Let's go to John. He's got a question for you. And again, if other listeners do, they can. Ron Johnson with us for another 10 minutes, 723-2555 and Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, 723-2555 or 1-800-657-4769. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mark. I got a question for the senator. My daughter has an extreme amount of college debt that she has to pay off, and she is not able to go to a lending institution to get a lower interest rate so she can pay it off. I wonder why that is, Mr. Johnson, and what you can do to help change that.
Well, John, first of all, thanks for your question. There are dozens, literally dozens, of programs to the federal government. She really needs to go into the Department of Education and find out which program is more tailored for her to lower student loan payments. I certainly supported the Interest Rate Stabilization Act that Senators Coburn and Burr and Alexander put forward in his bipartisan bill to stabilize those interest rates. But literally, there are dozens of programs to lower the repayment rates so that people can actually afford to pay those loans off. So the problem is very few students, very few people know that they exist because the Education Department does a terrible job of communicating that. So take a look at it. I mean, so many of those also result in if you make your payments for 10 or 20 years, they're lowered due to these programs. Federal government also pays off the loans. So there are all kinds of government programs. Get educated about them. By the way, contact our Oshkosh or Milwaukee office, and we'll give you the information on those. We'll help your daughter access those programs.
Okay.
All right, John, thanks for your call. 723-2555 or 1-800-657-4769. Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson with us here on WWIB and WIB.com. Speaking of college, Hillary Clinton got the endorsement of Bernie Sanders this week. Finally, the Democratic convention starts a week from Monday. But last week, and she underscored this again when they had the joint appearance in New Hampshire, that her proposal of, hey, you'll be able to get a college education and not go into debt. Now, I know this is an issue that gets a lot of attention, but Bernie Sanders talked a lot about this. Like, who's going to be paying for all that?
There's no such thing as a free lunch. Nothing is free. Somebody's going to pay for it. And right now, we have not solved the debt and deficit issue. Our deficits are still exceeding more than $400 billion per year. Over the next 30 years, it's projected, according to the Congressional Budget Office, our projected deficit over the next 30 years is $103 trillion. You tack that onto our $19 trillion debt load, it's clearly unsustainable. So, when my opponent, for example, says he's going to pay off your student loan, well, you're going to transfer what? The $1.2 trillion debt burden to everybody? I mean, that's basically what he's talking about doing, because we don't have the money to pay those things off. What we need to do is grow our economy. We need to reduce the regulatory burden. That one paper manufacturer said he did a calculation of just four government regulations issued under the Obama administration is costing his business the equivalent of $12,000 per year per employee. So if you're wondering why your wages have stagnated, if you're wondering why your wages haven't increased so that you can actually, handle your student loans, look to the burden of federal overregulation, this massive bureaucracy here in the federal government. They are causing our economy to grow at a very sluggish rate, not realizing its full potential.
Just following up on that briefly, Senator Johnson, whether we're talking about this particular issue, whether it's your race in the Senate or for president, I mean, certainly we've got to give some attention to this. I feel like we're headed for this major waterfall, bigger than Niagara Falls, if we've looked at Greece or other nations, in terms of the day of reckoning will come. And a $19 trillion debt. I've looked at a book recently from an author, 1994, and he was bemoaning the $3 trillion debt. It's now more than six times that. So, again, for voters, please, please, please keep that in mind. And clearly, fiscally, I mean, you're the candidate as opposed to your opponent on that particular issue.
Yeah, Senator Feingold said the debt and deficit was the biggest problem if we want to heal our economy when we first ran, and then he voted four times against an amendment to the Constitution that would have required a balanced budget. Little phony, a little hypocritical. Do you realize, Mark, that your share, every American share of the federal debt is approaching $60,000 per American? Greece, their debt load's under $40,000. But the only reason we don't have a debt crisis is we're still the world's reserve currency, so we can print money, which is in effect what we're doing to finance the deficit. That won't continue. At some point in time, creditors are going to look at the United States going, you are way too big a credit risk. Interest rates start spiking for every 1% interest rate increase. That's another $190 billion added to federal spending to pay interest on the debt, which is obscene.
Hmm. Senator Ron Johnson with us. If you have a question, he's with us a few more minutes here. 723-2555-WWIB, 1-800-657-4769. This week, as the head of the Homeland Security Committee in the Senate, you said that you want answers by July 25th on how other government agencies may have been involved with Hillary Clinton's controversial emails. Now, here's the thing. I mean, some people, particularly on the left, they're like, you know what? This is done, over, through, finished. But others are trying, and the media kind of joins with that largely, especially the mainstream media. But this is not over. This is not done. Talk about why you're still trying to deal with this.
Well, it's my responsibility. I'm chairman of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. That's the Senate's Oversight Committee. It's my responsibility. And by the way, oversight implies looking at what happened in the past. We could not gain access to the information to conduct our responsible oversight while there's an active investigation. That investigation now has ended in some respects, and so now I'm doing my job. And part of my job is to ask some serious questions, like how much did Secretary Clinton's extremely careless behavior, I would say grossly negligent or dangerously reckless behavior, how much did that cost the American taxpayer? I want to know. I think American taxpayers have the right to know that, but even more importantly, Mark, and we're writing this letter right now, I want to know who else was involved in those email chains, because I think most Americans, most Wisconsinites would agree with me. The information that passed over her unsecured server, 22 emails that were so sensitive, as Chairman of Homeland Security, I can't even see them. I don't have a high enough security clearance. I want to know who sent those emails, because they should not have access. They should not have security clearance. They shouldn't be promoted. They shouldn't be confirmed by the Senate. And if most people agree with me on that, I think they would, you got to ask yourself a question. These were the underlings. The leader of the pack is running for the biggest job in government, the most sensitive. Her employees should not be qualified to have security access. I don't think she's qualified to be president of the United States.
Yeah. And finally, this week with Senator Feingold, your organization, your campaign started something that garnered some national attention in terms of running the career clock. Let me just set this up, because incumbent politicians, nothing against you personally, but the Senate, the House, I mean, real low. We see like almost lower than ever. And Dolores Kearns Goodwin, I saw on weekend shows talking about, you know, you're lower than lobbyists even. And so it seems like your campaign is working to point out the fact that Senator Feingold, looking to get back into the Senate after having served there 18 years, prior to that 10 years as a state senator from Middleton, so 28 years and so you're running the career clock on him. Talk to me about that.
Yes, it's literally thousands of days worth of being a career politician. If you total up all the years he also was running for office, like, let's face it, he's been running for office the last 6 years. The minute he left the Senate, he set up two political action committees to act as a shadow campaign, you know, violating his own campaign finance law pledges, and a little hypocritical, but it's literally been about 34 years as a career politician versus myself. I've been in office now 6 years. I'm a committee chairman. He never was, probably never will be, of a full committee. And so I've actually got a record of accomplishment. All he's ever done in his life is be a career politician. You know, by and large, that's what people are pretty leery of, are people who never had real-world experience in the private sector, understanding how hard business is and how much harder their rules, their regulation, their laws are making it for organizations and businesses to grow, to expand, to create the good-paying jobs we're all looking for. So, no, it's a stark contrast in this election between a Wisconsin manufacturer from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, participating in the private sector, knowing how hard business is, versus a career politician and a California professor.
It's really, really rare. Final, we'll close on this, Senator Johnson. It's really, really rare for somebody to come back and seek a seat they lost 6 years later. I mean, you beat him fair and square. It's a different field now. I mean, it was kind of a home field advantage for you in a non-presidential election year, 2010, the Tea Party year. This is a presidential election year. Democrats turn out in Wisconsin a lot more to vote in those kind of elections in November than they do in just gubernatorial years. And so just my final question is, why do you think he's running, and then why are you running?
Well, I don't have a clue why he is. I think it's just because he likes the title. He wants to be U.S. Senator because he didn't accomplish anything in the first 18 years. Mark, I'm running because we have enormous challenges facing this nation. You know, I made two promises. I always tell you the truth. Never vote with my reelection mind. I'm here to take tough votes. You know, not the perfect votes. I'll never let perfect be the enemy of the good. I'm running because I think we need citizen legislators, people that had led a full life, had a full career, raised a family, take that lifetime experience as our founders envisioned, as a citizen legislator, come to Washington, D.C., not doing it because I want to get reelected, not doing it because I want to be a U.S. senator, but because we have enormous challenges. I want to take tough votes. I want to fix these problems. Then I like to go home. So it's a completely different mindset. You know, I miss my old life, But I'm more than willing to serve, because this nation is something precious. It needs preserving, but it needs serious individuals willing to take tough votes with that purpose, not somebody who just wants to be somebody. I want to actually accomplish things.
There you go, Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson. Go to ronjohnsonforsenate.com, the pro-life candidate in the U.S. Senate race November 8th. Senator, thank you.
Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
All right, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson. I've said to him in the past, I mean, I find him heroic in the sense of he was leading an incredibly successful plastic company in Oshkosh. I drink my water on a daily basis out of this Packers cup that came from Quick Trip a couple of years ago. It's got the 2014 Packers schedule. I just regularly fill it up with my water, wash it occasionally there. And the fact is that he came in here when we did the in-studio interview a little while ago, and he was just like, hey, we made that cup. We made that cup at our company, and that his company started with his brother, and that they went to the idea. His brother came up with the idea, and so he's been out there. He could just be, enjoying his success, but instead, think of the work that goes into that. And when I somehow tried to put that hero label in any way on Senator Johnson, very resistant to that, he said, "Hey, you know, our veterans, the people who put themselves in harm's way, probably would point to our police officers. These are the heroes. These are the people." But nonetheless, sacrifice is necessary, right? It's necessary in marriage. It's necessary in parenting. And it's necessary to try to get this country moving on track in the right direction, whether it's security and safety or the massive growing debt that's grown $10 to $11 trillion under this current president's watch, et cetera. So anyhow, your thoughts, welcome. 723-255-1800-657-4769. Email mark@wib.com. Coming up, the Republican convention. Some are still holding out hope. Some, like one Colorado delegate, which I've got some of the audio from, hoping that somehow, some way, the Republican convention rules committee will open things up and allow for some of these delegates to be unbound and vote for whoever they see fit, as opposed to being tied to their obligations from their state regarding their primary or caucus. But it would appear in most likely it's a Trump convention where he will be the presumptive nominee. He is slated less than 24 hours, 10 o'clock tomorrow, to announce who his running mate will be. It's seemingly down to four choices: Newt Gingrich, Jeff Sessions, Chris Christie, or Mike Pence. Do you have any thoughts on who you'd like to see him choose? We'll look at the Republican convention. What are the plans for next week? Coming up in Cleveland in a moment, WWIB. You are the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are the one who rose in power, the one who reigns forever. Jesus,
want a new truck in time to get the hay in? You need a Wisconsin Credit Union Express loan to make sure you have help with the load, because that hay won't walk itself to the barn. A Wisconsin Express loan means rates as low as 1.99% APR, an available online application, and the great personal service you've come to expect from Wisconsin. And you can often get your money the same day. Wisconsin Credit Union, we belong to you. Rate and credit limit based on credit score, income, term, and MVP status. Membership eligibility required. Federally insured by NCUA. You want a new ATV in time for exploring the unpaved wilderness. You need a Wisconsin Credit Union Express loan to make sure you're ready for the trails. Wisconsin Express loan service means rates as low as 1.99% APR, an available online application, and the great personal service you've come to expect from Wisconsin. And you can often get your money the same day. Wisconsin Credit Union, we belong to you. Rate and credit limit based on credit score, income, term, and MVP status. Membership eligibility required. Federally insured by NCUA.
Patco Tour here from the Purpose Driven Retirement Show and Keystone Financial. Life insurance is one of the oldest financial tools in the shed. Many people utilize life insurance in a variety of ways to greatly enhance their planning, including tax savings, living benefits, and potential tax-free income. Join me to learn more about how it might add tremendous value to your retirement plan. The Purpose Driven Retirement Show airs Wednesday at 7:30 and again Saturdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on WWIB.
On the search for an apartment? Contact Peters Rentals, a proven landlord with over 45 years of satisfied, secure tenants. As the owners, they take pride in their well-cared-for apartments. Call Peters Rentals, the responsible property owners.
All right, we'll continue the political conversation a little bit more. And then a week ago today, five Dallas police officers lost their lives trying to protect protesters in Dallas outside of a Black Lives Matter event. And we'll go back to the late, great Paul Harvey, one of his great tributes. Thanks again, actually, to my friend Brian Westrate for posting this on Facebook yesterday, called it to my attention, and I look forward to sharing it with you. Paul Harvey communicating as only he could. But first, Karen's in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
You got some thoughts on the heels of our conversation with Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson.
Yes, I do. I just wanted to say that Wisconsin is blessed to have Ron Johnson taking care of us and fighting and working for us so that we can live the way God intended us to live. That's what I want. I wanted to just get across to America but to Wisconsin. We need to stick together. We need to have God in our lives, and we need Ron Johnson as well.
That's right. Very well said, Karen. I appreciate that. Is there any particular reason why? What makes you feel strongly about that?
Basically, just because of the way the world is going. All the violence, the corruption, as he was talking about.
What is it that impresses you about Senator Johnson?
What impresses me?
Yeah.
Is that he is honest.
Mm-hmm.
He's true. He owns his own business. He's built it up. He knows how to run a business, and so he knows how
sure.
to run Wisconsin.
He's not only received a paycheck, but he has, issued those. And there's a lot to be said for that, you know, in terms of having been a business owner, a job creator, a job provider, and then to be moving on into the area of government as well. Karen, thanks a lot for listening and for calling.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to also say he works for the people. That is what his main course is. I just don't know how much more I can say about an honest person.
I think he's got your vote.
Oh, he absolutely does.
Very enthusiastically. Thank you. A lot of people have gotten a lot of attention. We talk about the presidential race saying, boy, I'm going to hold my nose and I don't like either one. But in this instance, I hear a lot of enthusiasm for Karen there. All right. I want to talk about the Republican National Convention in Cleveland just a little bit. Because we learned a little bit more about this. Donald Trump yesterday releasing the list of speakers at next week's RNC in Cleveland, and five Wisconsin pals made the cut. Among them, House Speaker Paul Ryan. He's going to talk about his House agenda, for which he had a CNN town hall earlier this week. Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, he's actually a Democrat, but obviously he's a conservative Democrat. He's a strong law and order Democrat, and so he's going to be speaking at the convention. Congressman Sean Duffy, who looks like we'll be part of the show tomorrow at some point. We're working on either a pre-recorded or live interview with Congressman Duffy. Again, tomorrow's show is going to be a lot on the coverage of Trump's VP announcement, which is slated for the start time of our show, 10 o'clock. Trump earlier had announced that Governor Scott Walker would be taking the stage at the convention. And again, Governor Walker has indicated he's going to be making the case against Hillary Clinton for president. And also Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus, who's from Kenosha, is going to be one of the speakers at the convention as well. Now, it's interesting in terms of, we'd heard last week that athletes were going to be featured. There's people like Jack Nicklaus, the great golfer, who's and Bobby Knight, the longtime basketball coach until passed by Mike Krzyzewski, the winningest basketball coach in college basketball history, won three national titles, 76, 81, and 87. And he was somebody who was a big backer for Trump, campaigned with him a lot, and helped him go over the top in Indiana. So they've come out. This is nights 1 through 4 of the convention. So this is the way it lays out. On Monday night, it's going to be a Benghazi focus. Yes, talked about the movie 13 Hours. Hillary's America is the Dinesh D'Souza movie that's actually coming, around July 22nd, I think, right? So it's not this weekend, but next weekend. A Benghazi focus on Monday, followed by Border Patrol agents. And again, a lot of them talk about we need to secure the border more. Mr. Shaw, whose son was killed by an undocumented immigrant. And I'm looking at the New York Times story on this. And so I think I've heard Mr. Shaw speak when Donald Trump was in California before. So apologize, I'm not seeing his Jamil Shaw, and he's got quite a story to tell in terms of the death of his son by an he's an outspoken advocate for tougher immigration laws after his son was killed in 2008 by an undocumented immigrant. It's quite a story. I remember seeing it at a California rally. So that is night one as well. Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, a lot of people like probably one of my favorite radio hosts, Hugh Hewitt's been pushing for Senator Cotton, who's only 39, but he's an Iraq war veteran, Harvard trained. I don't think he's going to be picked by Trump as a running mate, but he's going to speak on Monday night. Rudy Giuliani, Melania Trump, Donald Trump's wife, Joni Ernst, the senator from Iowa, who was speculated to be getting VP consideration until she pulled herself out. Night two of the Republican convention next week, a focus on the economy. This isn't the... make sure I'm trying to jump to the later point into the article, so I'm not getting all the specific names for people here. Dana White is the president of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, a mixed martial arts organization, and is speaking on night two. So again, this athletic focus. Yeah, again, a lot of times, not exclusive, but you think athletics and you think about guys, and certainly white men make up a huge contingency for Trump. Now, there's no question. I mean, you need more than that, but he's been faring as good as McCain and Romney regarding Hispanics or blacks, and a lot of people were skeptical if he'd be able to do that with the whole going to build the wall stance, but he's been faring well enough with those groups. And so and I think Obama showed us in 2012 what counts isn't so much winning the independents as much as really having that incredible focus on getting your base out there, and Romney wasn't able to do that good enough last time. Asa Hutchinson, the governor of Arkansas, will speak the second night of the convention. Michael Mukasey, the former United States Attorney General. Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who had been mentioned as a vice presidential possibility, but when he completely fumbled the abortion question on Sunday with Martha Raddatz on ABC, I think you heard the gong on his chances. Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the majority leader. Tiffany Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and Governor Walker speaking on night two. Night three of the convention is Pam Bondi. She is the Florida Attorney General. She's been somewhat controversial in terms of she had received campaign donations from Donald Trump. And then at that time, if you go back a few years, she had pulled back on, she said she wasn't going to be involved in terms of pursuing Trump on Trump University and that whole case. Also, I think Susan Collins, a senator from the Northeast, Newt Gingrich slated to speak on Wednesday night, Senator Ted Cruz, Eric Trump, and then whoever the nominee for vice president, and it could be Newt Gingrich. Who knows? I mean, I saw on Fox and Friends they had a bet going. The two male hosts today, Steve Ducey and it was Pete Hegseth today. I think they were there, and so they were saying it was going to be Newt, and the female co-host was saying she believed it was, she was betting on the fact it was going to be Mike Pence. So whoever lost was going to have to make breakfast for the other there on the show. We get to the final night, night four, and Tim Tebow, the former Heisman Trophy winning, national championship winning quarterback. We know he's got a huge following amongst Christians and conservatives. Tim Tebow, and people talked about his future in politics at some point. Wouldn't be surprised. Tim Tebow, Representative Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, Governor Mary Fallon of Oklahoma, Reince Priebus, the RNC chair from Wisconsin, Florida Governor Rick Scott, and also Ivanka Trump, Donald Trump's daughter, and the presumptive Republican nominee himself. So there you go. That's what's up for next week. Hey, it's been a week since we've lost five Dallas police officers. How about Paul Harvey on the job of the police? We've got that. And the Tim Scott commentary, we're going to have to push back until 11 due to time, as the black senator from South Carolina talked in the Senate floor yesterday about some of his experiences with the police, just trying to say, let's have some sensitivity. There is something at work here, some sensitivity and compassion, but certainly nothing that would in any way justify the horrible tragedy that unfolded in Dallas a week ago.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Listen weekdays for the Car Care Tip of the Day, sponsored by the Eau Claire and Lake Halley Auto Value Stores, where they encourage you to be car care aware.
Shop Bush and Gillis Furniture in Cameron, Ladysmith, and Spooner to furnish your home or cabin with quality furniture. And Marco, the locally owned print technology company we trust to help us with our bottom line. Well, it was a week ago tonight that we lost five Dallas police officers, as many as nine others injured by a 25-year-old sniper, gunman, former Army reservist who had served in Afghanistan. And so as we close the show today, a week later, we go back to this tribute to police in general from the late, great Paul Harvey.
Policeman. A policeman is a composite of what all men are, I guess, a mingling of saint and sinner, dust and deity. What that really means is that they are exceptional. They are unusual. They are not commonplace. Buried under the froth is the fact. And the fact is that less than one half of 1% of policemen misfit that uniform. And that is a better average than you'd find among clergymen. What is a policeman? He of all men is at once the most needed and the most wanted. A strangely nameless creature who is sir to his face and pig or worse behind his back. He must be such a diplomat that he can settle differences between individuals so that each will think he won. But if a policeman is neat, he's conceited. If he's careless, he's a bum. If he's pleasant, he's a flirt. If he's not, he's a grouch. He must make instant decisions which would require months for a lawyer. But if he hurries, he's careless. If he's deliberate, he's lazy. He must be first to an accident, infallible with a diagnosis. He must be able to start breathing, stop bleeding, tie splints, and above all, be sure the victim goes home without a limp. The police officer must know every gun, draw on the run, and hit where it doesn't hurt. He must be able to whip two men twice his size and half his age without damaging his uniform and without being brutal. If you hit him, he's a coward. If he hits you, he's a bully. The policeman from a single human hair must be able to describe the crime, the weapon, the criminal, and tell you where the criminal is hiding. But if he catches the criminal, he's lucky. If he doesn't, he's a dunce. He runs files and writes reports until his eyes ache to build a case against some felon who will get dealed out by a shameless Seamus. The policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And, of course, he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
Well, isn't that just great? I could just listen to that again and again. I'll tell you what. We may play that tomorrow morning at 5:45 in our morning prayer, folks. That was just good.